Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Welcome to the podcast. We are going to be talking about how to create habits if you are a bit of an overachiever, someone who deals with perfectionism and finds themselves going from 100 miles an hour down to zero very, very quickly because you tend to rely on willpower rather than actually creating consistent habits. And I've had an amazing opportunity over the past few months to talk to over 100 women who have been coming into our program. Just a little bit of a background on that. We've recently in Lean with Plants changed the way, or I should say just modify, like it's a constant iteration, which I believe it should be. Like if we're not learning and growing and changing, then we're going to be stagnant. And so we've changed our program to be much more focused on one-on-one coaching. It's not DIY anymore. It's really working with a close group of people, our team, a coach, accountability pods that we have, and much more focused on habits. And we've always been focused on habits. As you know, if you listen to the podcast, I'm obsessed with them. We believe that it is the bedrock of all long-term weight loss. It's the most important piece after you know what to eat, which is, spoiler alert, potatoes, vegetables. Easy, right? Just go eat potatoes and vegetables and stop junking on, that's not a word, that's not a thing. Stop chewing on burgers and fries and all those things. It's like, yeah, we get that, but how? How do I say no? How do I resist that? That's where habits come in. The reason I'm telling you this is that as we've changed the program, rather than doing these big quarterly openings and having people join, we have more of like an invite only. Like we talk to people and if we think that they're a good fit, then they are invited to join the program, which has been really, really cool. So I've done so many calls over the past couple of months with people who are thinking about wanting to build consistent habits to get to their weight loss goals. And then also talking to our amazing one-on-one clients who are in the program and how they're seeing that impact them and actually get them losing weight in a way that they know that they are going to be able to sustain. And some very, very fascinating data has emerged. And I got to say, if you are in our program, if we have had a call, or whoever you are, that you're in our world, I am so flippin' grateful for you because actually having conversations has taught me so much more about weight loss and about behavior and about people over the past few months. And I just feel so incredibly grateful for that opportunity because I believe that it is going to, and I've seen it already, it's making what we do better. And it's just data. Data is amazing. Data is king. So what have I learned? It's been amazing to talk to a lot of people who will tell me things like, I have run a marathon. I am incredibly successful in my job. I volunteer here. I do this and that. I have lost X amount of weight. I do CrossFit. And there's all these things that they do. And then they are still massively struggling with binging, self-sabotage, perfectionism, starting on Monday, all in, all out behavior. And it's so fascinating to me. And I started to realize that people who are typically high achievers, overachievers, people who are incredibly successful, actually tend to be less skilled, should we say, or less practiced in the art of habit building because they haven't needed to rely on it, because they consistently rely on willpower. And part of the way that I was able to recognize that this was happening is that I see this so flippin' much in my own life. And it was kind of a light bulb moment where why this has been so hard for so many years came into play. And if you don't know the story, very briefly, I struggled with trying to lose weight, even though I was vegan for almost a decade. And I started out trying to eat fully raw. I was doing a ton of running. There was a point where I was trying to cut out carbs and count calories and eating just raw at night and running for like 40 minutes to an hour every day and consistently not even able to walk up the stairs with much energy because I was so tired and just so not eating enough food. And then at other times being like, I'm going to be like fully raw and doing that for 4 months and just wildly so much willpower. Like when I look back, I'm like, man, like I could make myself do stuff. And I've always been able to make myself do things with a ton of intensity, but then they always dissipate. They always go. I run the half marathon. I hit the goal. And it's like, well, now what? And then I'll be on the couch for a month. Whereas what I've observed is that, and what we know, like we know this as well, this is so evident in everything we know about behavioral change, is that the people who focus on incremental progress, who focus on habits, who build consistent routines, all of that boring stuff, all of that real robotic stuff, none of the like go hard or go home or like just do it and none of that. Like the people who are like, yeah, I'll go for a 10-minute walk and then celebrate it. Like these are the people that consistently do flippin' amazing and tend to achieve more over the longer term because they have more consistency. And so consistency and progress, no matter how tiny, always beats intensity. And we've got that really, really poignant parable, not parable, but children's story of the tortoise and the hare, which illustrates this concept so beautifully. And a lot of people mistakenly think that the reason or the moral of the story is that slow and steady wins the race. That is not the moral of the story. If the hare had kept going, he would have won. Of course he would. But the problem was he had a lot of intensity to begin, and then he went and slept. The tortoise didn't win because he was slow and steady. He won because he made consistent progress. And it didn't matter in the long run that it took a while because consistent progress beats out short intensity that doesn't last. So when it comes to creating consistency and actually getting and to those goals, achieving a lot, beating perfectionism, getting where we want to go, then if you are someone who is a bit of an overachiever, then it is incredibly important that you first of all understand that you cannot consistently rely on willpower. And this is for everyone. Like whether you think you're a high achiever or what, don't spend any brain power trying to figure out whether you are or not. If you have any kind of perfectionism or whoever you are, like this is still going to apply. We all have bits of this. And I kind of think about the stages of or recognizing that you have an addiction. It's either addiction or grief. I've had a lot of late nights. I think it's addiction, where the first part of it is denial. And this is where, like, and then acceptance, right? And we've got to actually come to the point where even if we don't believe it within our hearts, and our hearts like, no, just go hard, just do the most, that we have to believe it conceptually that the answer to the problem is consistency and habit building rather than willpower. Because the tendency will be that we go, yep, no, I get that. I can't rely on willpower. I've got to make consistent habits. I've got to actually focus on that. And then we go, well, now I'm going to be perfect at habits. I'm going to be perfect at tiny steps. And it's not accurate. Like you're going to fall into old behavioral patterns because that's just part of it. So I want to get into some of the practical stuff. I want to give you some examples of things I've seen working for the women that we've been working with in the program and in my own life as well. And so this episode, if you identify with any of these things, get a piece of paper, take some notes. This is for you. And there is hope. You can beat the cycle and you can get to that goal. Alrighty, so the first thing is to understand how behavioral change works. And James Clear talks about this in his book, Atomic Habits, that if we want to build habits, what we're doing needs to be easy, obvious, attractive, and satisfying. And that's how we build habits. Because we are mostly creatures of habit. We are almost entirely creatures of habit. And you will see that the things that we gravitate towards and do consistently are because those are the behaviors and patterns that we've always done. And this is a good thing. It's something that means that our brains are now able to focus on things that are more important than having to decide every single second what your next step is. That you have to decide, well, if I'm thirsty, I should take a drink. Or if I get into my car, well, should I put my seatbelt on or should I not? Habits allow us to find the things that work. And when I say work, that they feel good. They give us a dopamine hit. Or they help us to avoid pain and discomfort. And then get on with our lives and focus on almost on autopilot. So it's really important to understand that we're almost robotic in our response and our environment shapes most of that. I'm not going to get into how environment changes things in this podcast episode, but it is important to understand that. So when we're looking at how to create these systems to allow us to beat that willpower and focus on it, really what we've got to do is think mostly about being smaller and thinking about smaller goals. Because one of the other tendencies that happens with overachievers is that we get burnt out. Because we're going so fast with so much intensity, we can't sustain it because we've burnt the candle at both ends. And then we have to take breaks, we have to take rests. And then over the longer term, we're never getting to that goal because we're always crashing and burning. So if you're experiencing some of that, one of the ways that we can overcome that is to focus on small habits, small consistent actions, and then gradual change that then become part of your routine. Because building routine in what you do and building consistency, even if it is something tiny, means that in those moments where you'd normally crash and burn, you're still able to take a few steps forward. Like the analogy of the tortoise and the hare. We want to be consistently taking steps, no matter how tiny they are. So rule number one, step number one, is to think smaller than what you currently have. And then think more consistent. So an example of this can be, rather than trying to change your entire diet straight off the bat with every single thing perfect, which I want to put a disclaimer out there. You can make big changes. Big changes are very, very possible. I've seen it time and time again. But if we want to make big changes, we have to have phenomenal systems that support that. I mean, someone can join the army and go from not doing much to running every day for miles and doing push-ups and making their bed and getting up at 5 p.m., but that's a huge environmental shift. That is a huge system shift that has allowed that to happen. Big changes require big environmental shifts. Most of us don't have big environmental shifts or big system shifts unless we really, really prioritize them, which is positive. Like, that's an amazing thing that you can do. But even within that, we still want to set up systems where if we cannot meet those big goals, we're still hitting little ones. So it's never all or nothing. And so one of the things that we do inside of our program in terms of accountability is that we set a habit where no matter what, every single day, the habit is to eat at least 1 pound of vegetables. And whether you eat 10 donuts in that day, whether you go out to eat, whether those veggies are drenched in oil, yes, that's relevant to your overall progress, but the most important thing is just to eat that pound of veggies, no matter what else happens. And so what that does is that it goes, okay, here is the one thing that I'm focusing on that I need to do consistently, and that's the thing that we know is really going to make the biggest impact to someone's journey, is whether they eat veggies every day. Like, this is like, if we were to put a score on it, we're looking at about 60% of your overall success will be, well, 60 to 70% of your overall success is going to be determined by how consistently you do that. And it's not hugely small. That's probably the way of saying it. It's not tiny. It's not eat one vegetable, but it's small enough that most people can do that every single day. If they give themselves the option of not getting everything else right if they're having a bad day. Like, that's the key part of it. The whole thing here is about making it consistent. So next, we need to focus on action goals and on the process rather than the outcome. And so overachievers are very driven by results. We want to get to that end goal. We want to feel successful. And so a lot of what we do is driven by the need to really alleviate feelings of inadequacy or insecurity, of being mediocre, of not being good enough. And so we think that when we hit these results, we're going to be able to feel better. Maybe that's just me. I know it's not just me. Other people experience this as well. And so we're not really process driven in the same way that a lot of people are. It's like, hey, like, I love to go out for a run. I'll just run. And no matter what, like, whether it's 1K or 5K, I don't care. Like, overachievers tend to be more like, hey, I'm going to do this because I want to get to X. And we get very demoralized if we're not getting there fast enough. And so, but the problem with that is, it's kind of obvious, but the problem is the goal itself is just an arbitrary point in the future. And if we're so focused on that rather than creating the consistency to actually get there, then most likely we won't, for one, or we just won't maintain it once we're actually there. Like, I'd love to know, send me a DM, how many people here have trained for a half marathon or trained for some kind of event, and then after that, like, not kept up that habit of running or going to the gym or whatever else it was, or had a wedding in mind, eaten really, really well, or maybe not even well, just really low calorie, lost a lot of weight and then gained it back. Most people. And that happens when we're so focused on the result instead of the process. So the process looks like, again, what are those habits that I need to do consistently on a day-to-day basis that are going to lead to results? And so what we call these things leading measures and lagging measures. I talked about this in a podcast. And I was talking about this to some of our clients this week, that leading measures are so much more important to focus on than lagging ones. Leading measures, if we were to do them, we will get to the goal. It's just a matter of time. And I was trying to find this old Chinese proverb that I'm pretty sure is talked about in the book Outliers, which it's a really interesting book about how some people become wildly, wildly successful and what make up all of the reasons why that happens. Like, wildly successful, I'm talking about Steve Jobs. Like, yes, there's talent. Yes, there's all these other things, that the 10,000 hours and all of that stuff. But then there's other elements. It's a fascinating book. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, there's something that he talks about in there, and that there's this old Chinese proverb that I cannot find, so I may be getting this wrong. Excuse me if it is really off. Please, and if I offend you, I'm sorry. But it is basically saying, no one who tends a rice field from dawn till dusk every single day can fail to get rich. And the idea behind it, and I'm butchering it, I know I am, but the idea behind it is that it's the consistent action over and over every single day, dawn till dusk, that if you were to do that, then you will reap the rewards. It's impossible not to. And the same is true for these leading indicators. I can make this as a guarantee. Like, I can promise you, like, this is how 100% certain I am of this fact. If you eat a pound or more of vegetables every single day, if you eat potatoes every single day over the course of a year, and you never give that habit up, you are going to be so much closer to your goal than you have ever been. So focusing on those leading measures, tracking those leading measures, and then celebrating them. Because we're celebrating actions rather than outcomes. And celebrating an action can be as simple as marking off a checklist. It can be giving yourself a pat on the back or acknowledging that you did the thing, right? That you ate a vegetable, that you had a 50-50 plate, that you made a next best choice and ate half a packet of Oreos instead of an entire packet. And so you're focused on those action steps, irrelevant of what the scales say, irrelevant of what those leading measures say. And I see this so much with people, and I remember it, but it also saddens me that we're so granular in how we view the scale. We're so nitpicky in how we view the minutiae of data on the day-to-day in terms of results. That if we are consistent and we do everything right for 2 days or a week, we expect to see phenomenal changes on the scales. And we're not going to, that's not the way that we change our behavior, by thinking that because we've been perfect or because we've started this process, which is a lifelong process of change, that we deserve to see amazing, phenomenal changes in a short period of time. And I'm not saying you don't deserve it, but I'm saying that we're so focused on something that's not helpful, because you cannot control those outcomes in the short term. You have so much control of them in a long timeline. Over the course of 10 years, you have a ton of control. Because what can you do in 10 years of consistency? A lot. What can you do in 1 week? Not all that much. So when we focus on building habits and those leading actions and ignore the results for a while, you're going to get further. And not only that, you're going to feel better about it. And you're also less likely to have burnout, because you're making those habits that you're doing achievable. And they've probably got to be smaller than what you're thinking. So an example of an action goal would be, instead of setting a goal to, say, lose 10 pounds, which is, it's not bad to set these goals, but we also want to set an action goal. We want to have a goal that I would exercise for 30 minutes every day, or that I would eat that pound of vegetables every day, or that I would take pictures of my meals for accountability every single day, or I would do a step goal every single day for 30 days, or whatever it is. So you're actually focusing on the actions themselves. And this is what we do inside of our program, because it really, really works. And it's so incredibly satisfying when you can go, hey, no matter if I've seen weight on the scales yet, if I'm doing all of these things, if I'm marking off everything that I need to, if I am celebrating my wins, if I'm actually focusing on those leading measures, I will get there. And the coolest thing has been in changing the program is just to see how phenomenally correlated those leading actions are, that the people who are so consistent with focusing on those leading actions are the ones that do the best. And it's like, yeah, well, duh, like this is just the way that it works. But us as overachievers, we tend to forget this, because we just so want that result. The other thing that's important here is that the reason we want to make things smaller and the reason we want to focus more on the daily tasks and the habit building and the things that we're going to do consistently is that we become very discouraged if we don't get to the goal. And then that makes us feel like we want to give up, because we're not seeing results, and we go, okay, well, if I'm not seeing them, what's the point? This feels really hard, I'm working my butt off, and I'm not seeing enough change. Whereas if we think about this in terms of longer timeline, again, I'm going to say this from here on out, we need to start thinking about things on a longer timeline. Even if you don't believe it yet, you can believe it in concept, and you can set up your choices, and you can tell yourself, I need to think about things on a longer timeline, even if you're impatient like every single other person and you do want to see weight loss fast. And I remember before I started this journey that I had this little mini Rhema revelation, as my dad would say. My dad loves saying the word Rhema. He's like, I had a Rhema. And I realized that if I lost the weight, all the weight that I wanted to lose, and I got abs and felt amazing in a bikini and looked like the people that I looked up to, and that took me 6 months, or it took me 4 months, I realized, hey, it's actually going to take me longer than 6 months when I actually did the math. But what I realized was that if I got there and I felt phenomenal, but a year from then I was back where I wanted to be, it wasn't worth it. And what I realized was that I wanted to do this differently than I'd ever done it before. I wanted to think about this, not by how fast can I lose the weight, but whether every single pound that got lost was gone forever. That I kicked that sucker to the curb and that he was gone. And that I was never going to see him again. And so I started to change the way that I was doing things from intensity and focus on intensity to focus on what am I going to do for the rest of my life? What could I do on my worst days, not just my best? And small, consistent, every single day action steps are what get us there. And the amazing thing is that it's so incredibly simple. It seems so arbitrary. It does not feel like it is going to work. But if you can focus on improvement and if you can celebrate improvement, even if it is tiny, then on a longer timeline, you can make phenomenal, significant progress with just being 1% better every day. Because it's like the story of the tortoise and the hare. With longer time, you will get there if you are putting one foot in front of the other. The other reason that it's important to focus on creating structures around getting consistent. So what am I going to do on a daily basis? What are my action steps? What am I going to do no matter what, right? Eating my pound of veg, prepping my potatoes, having a potato, eating it. Like, I don't even want to go into specifics because it's so simple, right? It's eat potatoes, eat vegetables, and get yourself really flipping full so that you don't want to eat anything else and don't worry about teeny tiny details. But what this does is that if we allow ourselves to celebrate progress and stop seeing this with such a dichotomy of black and white, like I'm either great or I'm bad, or I ate a piece of chocolate and oh, that's the end of the world, that's absolutely terrible. When in reality, you normally ate 5 pieces of chocolate or a block of chocolate or a block of chocolate and a tub of ice cream, and you're beating yourself up for that instead of going, hey, like that's improvement, that's amazing. When you shift to being able to see progress for what it is, progress, and when you start to make tiny action steps, rather than having to have them being really, really huge or nothing, the most powerful thing of this is not just how it affects your actual calories in, calories out, or your actual behavior on a day-to-day basis in the short term, it's how it starts to build trust in yourself. Because what do you call someone who says they're going to do one thing and then flakes out? A flake. What do you call someone who says, I'm going to do X and they don't, they do Y? A liar. And so for us right now, if you make commitments to yourself and you don't keep them, you don't trust yourself. You don't believe that you're going to actually do things. If you tell yourself, hey, I'm going to lose weight this time, I'm going to get serious this time, and you don't trust yourself. And so if you've done that pattern and over and over and again for many, many years, then you've got to start building trust with yourself again. And the way that we build trust is by being faithful in the small things. By teaching ourselves through tiny repetitive actions that we can actually change. That when we say that we're going to eat a vegetable, we do. That when we say that we're not going to eat cake, we don't. But no one goes from 1,000,000 miles an hour, or 0 to 1,000,000, really, really quickly. It's a setup for failure if we think that we're going to change that fast. And this is why we keep coming back to making small, sustainable changes. Because we start to build up our tolerance over time. We start to build up our mental endurance over time. We start to build trust. Because if you do something tiny and you make it so tiny that there's no possible way that you can not do it, no matter how crap you're feeling, like if it's as tiny as, hey, you know what? I want to start a running habit. I want to become a runner one day. Maybe one day I want to do a marathon. But if your teeny tiny action step and your little habit to start building that is I'm going to put my running shoes on no matter what. And again, I keep saying again, I'm like, again, you just got to do it this way. I really want you to understand, but there's so much in this. And it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. But you can do those big things as well. It's not saying that don't do those big things. It's not saying don't plan a 5-kilometer run for yourself if you want to do it. But it's setting a minimum requirement as well. It's saying, hey, if I don't do this, what am I going to do? So it isn't ever that black and white. So yeah, like go out, run the 5K. But what is the first tiny step of that? It's putting on your shoes. So that's the action that you commit to. You're not committing. Well, you may commit to running the 5K. But what you're really committing to is creating some kind of action that no matter what else happens, you still can do. And then this becomes so tiny and it's going to feel so arbitrary if you're an overachiever or a perfectionist. This allows you to build so much trust with yourself because you will do it 100% of the time because it's so flippin' tiny. Because anyone can put on their running shoes every single day. The biggest problem with this is that we will go, it's not good enough. We don't commit to the process and we go, you know what, I'm just not even going to do that because it's not good enough. And then we just procrastinate and we go, yeah, I'll go for that run later. And then we don't. And then we go, well, there's no point putting my running shoes on because I know that I'm not going to go for a run, so I won't even do that. So this is where I'm talking to you if you feel like you're an overachiever, if you're a perfectionist and if you struggle with habit change. I want you to commit to one teeny tiny thing, one action that you could do in 2 minutes or less that if you're trying to build a habit towards that you could start there as a first step. And this is another thing that we do in our program and that's been incredibly effective is the next tiny step method. And that's just really thinking about, well, if I want to achieve this big thing, what's that one teeny tiny thing that I'm going to commit to that gets the ball rolling, but starts to build trust in myself? And then I'm more likely to do the next thing if I've started that process. And so what we do in our accountability pod meetings is we go through a process of what is my next tiny step? I want to make improvement in this area, right? Maybe it's meal prep. Maybe it's consistency with drinking water, whatever it is. So we go, okay, there's always a process. There's always a first place of starting in anything that we want to achieve. If we want to go to the shops and do a shopping list or do some kind of grocery shop, there's a first step to that. What is it? Maybe it's hopping in the car, but there's probably actually a step way before that. Maybe it's just saying, hey, I'm going to put this in my calendar that I have time to go. Or I'm going to tell my husband I'm going to the shops at X time. Maybe it is as simple as hopping in the car. Like whatever it is, we commit to doing that first step. We don't commit to doing the rest. We make it so tiny, so arbitrary, so insignificant that there's no possible excuse for not doing it apart from the fact that we think it's pointless. And then once you've done that first tiny step, you're most likely going to do more. So another example of this was by committing to doing a tiny step of, say, 5 minutes of meditation or yoga a day, or like our amazing coach Keisha in the program has been doing, is I'm just going to roll out my yoga mat every day. Like over time, there will be days that you just roll out your yoga mat. Like that's it. And you're like, yeah, I'm building trust in myself because I'm consistent. I'm someone who's doing what I said I would do. I'm following through on my commitments. But then you're also much, much more likely to do 5 minutes of yoga or half an hour of yoga if your mat is rolled out, because you can't start without that first tiny step. So this is another way to start to break this kind of behavior. And I've done this with things like trying to read a book and just committing to opening the book, or just committing to read 2 minutes, because I find it hard to open a book. It's almost like that's the hardest first step. And they say this with running as well. It's like, what's the hardest part about running? The hardest part is walking out the front door. So what if we could trick ourselves and we go, hey, I'm just going to commit to doing the hardest first piece, which is start, and I'm not going to commit to anything else. So I'm going to trick my body and my brain into doing really, really difficult things by just getting out the door. Like this is the way that it works. And so for anyone who struggles with perfectionism and being a high achiever, is we just don't think that these things are going to work. We don't think that they're effective. We think that we're so much better than that. We're like, no, I'm going to go and use all the willpower in the world. But then we don't do it and we wonder why we're stuck. And I think if this is you, because this is me, we really need to get out off our high horses and eat some humble pie and be like, you know what? We're not all that amazing. We're kind of mediocre in a lot of things. We don't have to be the best of the best. We can be the person that just goes out for a walk. Like, we can be the person that just puts on their running shoes. Because we're going to get further by setting mediocre, arbitrary, tiny, embarrassing goals and actually doing them and making small improvements than we are with a ton of willpower, audacious dreams that we never do because they're too flipping hard. We get burnt out halfway through. The other piece to this that it's really important that we understand is that anything big takes time. Anything worth doing is going to take longer than we think it is. And so we've got to prioritize that consistency. Like, that's the biggest reason for this. Because once we build those habits, they become autopilot and we can keep doing them. And so if we focus on building habits and we make them small enough so that we actually do them, and then we do them consistently enough for a long enough time, at some point we've done enough repetition and enough improvement has occurred that we will get there. And anything that is big and scary and feels out of reach right now is going to require significant time, significant consistency. So the only way to get there is to make the process doable. So this brings me to the last point, and that is that we really, really need to celebrate wins. We need to acknowledge progress. Do you know what the most motivating thing for humans is? It's progress. It's feeling like you're making progress, and it's having your progress acknowledged by others. And I was talking to one of our amazing members the other day. I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are, because we were talking about post-it notes. And this person is quite hard on themselves. And I was asking them, like, what are your wins? Like, what's working for you? Like, what are some of the things? Because they were saying, like, oh, like, I didn't do this right, and I kind of failed here. And I was like, yeah, but what are your wins? Really, like, tell me what's working. And so they started to say, hey, like, I resisted something. Like, I was in the staff room and I didn't eat the donuts. I had a hard conversation and set some boundaries with someone. I've never done that before. I did this, I did that. And I was like, you know what, that's amazing. Are you recording and writing this down? Are you acknowledging the progress that you're making? I'm like, no, not really. And so something that I've been doing that I shared with this person is actually writing out what I'm making progress on post-it notes. And these are kind of like the milestones that we can look back and say, and actually acknowledge that we're making progress. Because overachievers tend to look how far they have to go rather than how far they've come. And when we're constantly doing that, we're always looking at the tip of the mountain and it's always getting further away. Rather than looking back and being like, wow, look at that view. Like, man, like, I have climbed a long way. This view is amazing. I was down there in the bottom. Now I'm up here. Like, good job, Charles. Like, you're doing amazing. Like, me from 2 years ago. Like, can you even imagine? When I started this podcast, now, like, 150 or something episodes in. Flipping heck, like over 500,000 downloads. Would Chelsea from a couple of years ago be impressed and amazed at how far I've come? Yes. But Chelsea of today redid this episode because it wasn't good enough. Got 12 minutes in and realized that I wanted to record it over. Has got tons of parts that are going to be edited out by my editor. Feels crap because of all the things that I didn't get done today. Like, I'm just being real honest right now. And I hate that. I hate that I look at where I still need to be and how far away that I am instead of acknowledging the progress that I've made. And I've realized, because I see it in myself as well, that, and it saddens me so flippin' much, is the women that I talk to who struggle to acknowledge progress and do not prioritize making that a habit to really prioritize sharing their wins, giving themselves a little pat on the back, acknowledging progress, being positive about where they've come from, the women who do not do that do not see the amazing results that they deserve. Like, they can get there, sure. But the people who do best are the people who do acknowledge where they've come from and they celebrate their own wins. And I think that we can tend to see this as almost like a badge of honor that I'm hard on myself. And like, why would I, you know, celebrate something arbitrary? Why would I give myself a pat on the back when I ate a piece of chocolate? Even though that may have been like the hardest battle you've ever fought to not go and have a binge, right? And I think we go, well, it's not that bad to be hard on myself. It's just kind of who I am. Like, I just expect more of myself. And it's like, really? Is that actually helping you? Is that motivating you to go and crush it tomorrow? No, it's not. So snap the heck out of it. I know it's not that simple, but please stop being okay with this just being the way it is and start taking some action steps to actually change it and become someone who is positive about where you've been and is positive and excited about the progress that you've made, even if you don't feel it. And it's like they say in marriages or in relationships, you don't always feel love for your partner. But if you act like you do, if you pretend that you do in that moment, a lot of the times your feelings are going to follow. I do not enjoy going into my children's room and sitting on the ground and hearing something that it's boring. Like, honestly, I find it so boring. A lot of the time I find hanging out with my kids boring. I'm sorry. But when I do it and I sit there and I let myself sit in the boredom for a minute, I'm like, it is what it is. It's okay. Most of the time I do end up really, really enjoying it. And those things that felt the most boring to begin with actually end up being wonderful, beautiful moments that I will cherish for the rest of my life. And I think that this is the same with us making an intentional decision to be people who focus on progress, are okay with failure, who pick ourselves up in a positive. It's gonna have to be an intentional choice. You're not gonna feel like you're making progress, but you can acknowledge it regardless. So what I've been finding really helpful, there's a couple of things, but most importantly is I don't speak negatively to myself, even if I feel it. And I don't say that I'm fat. It saddens me that, not that that's, I don't know how to say this. I'm a very big fan of body neutrality, even though it's sort of like crazy that I'm in the weight loss industry. But we are not our bodies, right? Like, how our bodies look does not influence our value or our worth as human beings. How we look, whether we're old, whether we're gray, whether we're scarred, whether we're huge, whether we're tiny, it's like we still have equal value as humans, whether we're smart, whether we're dumb, whatever, who cares. But what I've noticed is that a lot of women speak very, very harshly, and they'll speak it out loud about themselves, like, oh yeah, I'm a dope, or oh, I'm fat, or oh, like I look ugly, or like, oh, look at this jiggling hair, that's so bad, or whatever. And I realized, like, yeah, I do think that. I definitely do. I've come hard on myself for sure, but I don't say it. Like, I don't vocalize that. And my daughter the other day was saying something. I think I've talked about this. I'm probably always talking about the same things, like I am. Like I said, 150 episodes in, I'm going to repeat myself. My daughter the other day was saying, like, oh, like, I'm so stupid. She did something. And I was like, we don't say that about ourselves. We don't do that. We don't say we're stupid. That's not helpful. She's like, well, you do that. I was like, no, I don't. Have you ever heard me call myself stupid? No. She's like, oh yeah, no, I've never heard you say that. I was like, yeah, I think that quite often, but I won't say that. So I think that's an important first step, is stop vocalizing negativity about yourself and start vocalizing progress. Right? Hey, like, I did this. I went for a run. I did this. I cooked dinner. I spent time with my kids. It's just what we focus on, we highlight. What we spend time dwelling on and what we speak into existence, what we say, has huge power. So let's say the things and acknowledge the things in terms of the direction that we want to go. That's going to help us to feel much, much more motivated. Second thing is journaling or writing down and taking note of progress. This could also be tracking things like your weight or taking progress pictures. It's just some kind of measure of being able to see progress over time and not expecting that to be something that happens really quickly. But what I've liked to do is actually write on post-it notes whenever I have like a little win or I move something forward in my business or in my personal life. I like to just write that down because then at the end of the week or when I'm feeling like I'm stuck, I can look back and that's how I enjoy the view. If I'm using that analogy of climbing a mountain, because it does feel like this, it's just so far to go and I see all the problems. But when I look back and I'm like, oh, I did a podcast episode. I talked to someone and their lives being changed. I delegated something or I went for a run, whatever it is. I go, hey, like I'm moving. I took steps. I made progress. Like that's good. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I am making progress so I can keep going. It's incredibly motivating to actually do that. And so you can also do that by journaling. Journaling is phenomenal. Like sometimes at night, I have a journal by my bed. I'm not a consistent journaler. But sometimes if I'm feeling bad about my day, I will just get out that journal and I will just write what I feel like I made progress on and what I feel like I moved forward. Because this is the other thing as well, is that if you're an overachiever or if you're like a type A personality or a 3 on the Enneagram because you love to achieve, then we've got to work with that. Like that's a natural desire that we have, that achievement is something incredibly positive. And so we can flip the switch on that, in that we just celebrate different things, or we allow ourselves to experience the positive dopamine hits of like, yeah, like I tick something off, I achieve something, by, like I said, making it smaller, but then also acknowledging that it has happened. Because that's gonna, we like that feeling, we love that feeling. I think that overachievers actually live for that feeling, but we're like chasing a high that we can never have, and it's so there, it's already there. So then the other thing is with this is like set different success metrics so that you can keep succeeding and achieving. Because if we love achieving and that motivates us, then if we change what is success so that we can achieve it more, isn't it logical to assume that we would keep achieving more? Because we're like, this is amazing, I feel great, I can do anything, I'm going to keep going. And this all comes back to celebrating actions and celebrating behavior rather than celebrating outcomes. So what if your way of celebrating progress was, hey, I'm going to write down on a post-it note that I ate a pound of vegetables today. Woohoo, go me. Like, that's amazing. Yay, awesome. That's my success metric. It doesn't matter that the scales went up and it doesn't matter that I ate donuts. I ate my pound of vegetables. Good job. What if instead of, I only ran like 4Ks and I was meant to go out and run like 10 and I didn't hit my goals. What if it was like, I got out the door. Woohoo, that's amazing. I left the comfort of my couch and I moved forward when I didn't want to. And that's success. Like that is my measure of success. It's like, wow, like I can do that. I can do hard things. I can trust myself. I can keep achieving. Because you've changed. It's not about lowering standards so much as it is setting your goals and your standards of achievements around behaviors that serve you, not results that are fickle and latent anyway. And so lastly, like this ties into everything that I've talked about as well, is we really just have to let go of perfectionism as a positive trait. We have to let go of this idea that this helps us. Because I've realized that, how do I put this? I tend to think that how hard I am on myself, how much I push myself, how much willpower I have, how much all of these things, I tend to think that that helps me. And while it has in some way, it also mostly holds me back. Overall, it's not positively moving me forward. It's a hindrance more than it is a help. So we've really got to let go of this in terms of our identity. Everything comes back to identity. Letting go of this, unrealistic standards, hugely high goals, all of these things. And it's like, again, I'm not saying you're not going to get there. I'm just saying start building trust in yourself in the small things. Start celebrating progress rather than perfection, and you will get there. You will achieve amazing things. You will, but it's going to take time because you're not that person yet, right? It's like all about identity. So if we let go of this identity that we're so amazing and we just do such hard things and we've got so much willpower, and instead start to being like, you know what? I'm going to celebrate things like I would a child. I'm going to say, well done for saying please. I'm going to be like, good job, you finished your vegetables. If I'm going to treat myself with that level of celebration and focus on progress and behaviors in the same way that I would for my child, who I am training to hopefully be a functioning adult in this crazy world that we live in, if we know that that works for how we train animals, how we train people, how we talk to, if you have anyone, if you're in leadership, if you're a parent, if you're like literally anyone, what we know works, then why wouldn't we do that for ourselves and stop using it as a badge of honor that we're hard on ourselves when it's not working? I'm going to leave it there. I hope that you have found this episode helpful, and please send me a message or an email. Please, please, please leave me a review. Like, I read every single one because they come through on my emails. It gives me I love it so much when I see a review come through and it's like, this podcast is helping me. This is changing the way I'm thinking about food. Like, that is such a fuel for me. So please take a couple of minutes, because it also really helps get this message out to more people. And goodness knows we need more understanding about behavioral change when it comes to diet and weight loss, right? Like, that's why you're here. All right. So I'd really appreciate it if you left me a review. And also as well, I'm going to put a link inside of this podcast episode. If you are wanting accountability, if you're wanting to understand behavioral change, if you're wanting support in making that, because that's the biggest part, is just really knowing these frameworks and then having someone support you through that process, then we can help you do that. We've done it with hundreds of other people. We're seeing phenomenal success with the coaching program. And I am 100% convinced that no matter how broken you feel, no matter how many years you have been dieting, when you have these tools and frameworks and you have the consistency through accountability and through behavioral change to actually get there, then you will see results. Because it's inevitable. It's just a longer timeline, perhaps. And it's just starting maybe a little bit smaller. So please reach out if you want to book a free one-on-one consultation to talk about what that looks like, whether you're a good fit for our program. I'd love to speak to you, or a member of our team actually talk to you as well. So you can go and have a look at that in the show notes. All right, this really is goodbye. I will see you next week for another episode. Bye!